Raising Peace would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was recorded, edited and mixed. We pay our respects to elders past, present and future and acknowledge that this was, is and always will be Aboriginal land.
It's activism, it's research, it's lobbying, it's cultivating that inner change, stepping outside your comfort zone.
I had no idea how many organisations in Australia were working for peace.
Welcome to the final episode of this season of the Raising Peace podcast. This month, we'll look at another way of acting for peace, Raising Peace itself. We'll hear from some of the people behind the Raising Peace Festival, many of whom have had a lifetime's experience of peace work. They'll talk about what motivated them to start a peace festival in the middle of a pandemic, why they chose the name Raising Peace, and how the experience has affected them. Rita Worley leads the conversation as she discusses how it all began.
So I'm Rita Worley, and I'm here representing International Volunteers for Peace. So IVP, as it's known for short, is part of an international peace network movement. So it started just over 100 years ago by a Swiss pacifist or activist, and he had this notion that getting people together, people from very different backgrounds, to live and work together on a community project would forge friendships across difference, and that people would learn to tolerate and collaborate and understand each other. So this is an organisation that I started in Australia 35 years ago. And the 100th anniversary came up in 2020, and I wanted to do something to celebrate that in Australia. I know there are all these different peace groups working often in isolation, often on one topic. You know, it might be cluster bombs, it might be nuclear war, it might be non-violence, it might be the Asia Pacific. So I had the idea of bringing them all together to have a peace festival. That was the first motivation. I got in touch with Nick from Marrickville Peace Group, and I know Nick from many other lines of life. And he was very enthusiastic. And then I contacted WILF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, who were also having their 100th anniversary that year. So the three of us then kind of went, right, let's go ahead.
I'm Nick Dean, and I'm involved with Raising Peace, but I'm also the convener of the Marrickville Peace Group, and I'm very much involved with IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network. What sort of motivates me behind all this is one very simple thing, that living in peace is the preferred option for the overwhelming majority of ordinary people, whether they come out and express it or not. I still feel that, and this is what motivates me still, that we, the people, do have the power to steer Australia, and if we're ambitious, the world, onto a more peace-oriented path. And this is a terribly urgent need right now, because wars can continue to dominate what's happening in the world. I've no problem with any nation maintaining a defence force. As I said, living without fear of attack is an aspect of living in peace. What I object to is the projection of power by violent military means and the imposition of peace, that's peace in inverted commas, through military might. Australia could be a leading advocate in advocating peace in the world.
I am Dragana Živančević, and I belong to several organizations, and I started here as a member of WILF New South Wales branch. I'm also a member of Just Peace of Queensland. Peace is what most of the people on this planet want. They do not want war and destructions. And militarism in general, it's on the rise. And that's part of our discourse. And that's how governments talk with each other, which is extremely concerning. Along with the growing militarism comes the issue of effect on the climate, regardless of whether we live in this part of the world and the other. The world is so interconnected these days that in the end, it affects us all.
I'm Liz Schuringer, and I came to Raising Peace through the Quakers, the Religious Society of Friends. We were contacted early 2020 if we were interested to be part of an event in September 2020. And I thought, well, it's a one-off event. Why not? Why don't I just volunteer to be part of this one-off event in September? And of course, then COVID hit. And the event in September 2020 was small, but I met some interesting people. I think peace is the only way to go, and we need to be active. We need to create awareness. We need to talk with people, but also educate ourselves and ensure that we don't burn out in peace work, because we're in it for the long haul.
My name's Madonna Quixley, and I'm a co-founder of Let's Talk Peace Ballarat, and the national lead for the peace sector of the Australian Compassion Council, which is partnered with both the Global Charter for Compassion and Global Compassion Coalition. And like many who work with Raising Peace, I'm also involved with several other peace building groups. I guess when I'm talking about inner change, compassion isn't like a namby-pamby thing. It involves a lot of courage. So much of what we're doing involves educating people about the real, you know, the real reasons behind successes, you know, and how powerful nonviolence is. People do have the capacity to live in peace. You know, it's not just that they want peace, but they do have the capacity to live in peace, you know.
My concern, above all else, I guess, is the connection of peace and democracy. It seems to me that if we think about the United Nations, and previously before that the League of Nations, that each of these were founded around principles of peace and democracy and trying to achieve that blend if it were possible. So I think they're very much foundational principles about which the League and the United Nations were involved and have been involved over time. Global citizenship requires a certain maturity in order for it to blossom and to be nurtured and to come to fruition in various ways. Perhaps it doesn't ever come to fruition completely. But I feel that we should be encouraged to be global citizens. I think we all need to be involved in this process, not just the young, not just the not so young. It needs to be intergenerational, and it needs to be boldly intergenerational to really work as a process.
What does the work of peace building actually look like? We really need to emphasize that it's work, it's activism, it's research, it's lobbying, it's cultivating that inner change, teaching and education and communication and all these sorts of things. It's volunteering. It's stepping outside your comfort zone.
I'm Tim Ford from the United Nations Association New South Wales Division. I'm the Vice President Operations, and I also lead the Peace and Security Pillar. We actually very much support the Raising Peace's aim, which is to celebrate and raise the profile of peace as it aligns closely with our own objective of promoting the contributors to a safe and peaceful Australian community. Obviously, the conflict issues that are going on in Ukraine and the Middle East are areas that the UN is deeply involved in trying to get peace in. So that's where we sit. We try and sort of get out and inform people, inspire them, and also engage them so that they understand the whole issue of international peace and security and the impact outside of Australia as much as inside Australia. I come to this as a professional soldier, someone who for 40 years was in the military, raising to a lot of command positions, that I've actually been in a war, in the Vietnam War, but that I've also for the last 10 years been involved as a peacekeeper. And the fact that I have the honour to actually work with many countries, many military, police and civilians in peace operations and actually see how international peace works. And once there is a peace to keep, the importance of having a commitment to making sure that that peace can grow and become stable and become develop a country, particularly a country that's failed or had conflict and so on. So people might find it strange that I'm linking up to this group, but I see the importance of being able to defend your own country, but not necessarily to project that problem forward. It's very critical that we are out there talking with other nations and trying to prevent getting the situation of conflict.
I'm Andrew Gaines. I'm the instigator of Inspiring Transition, a platform to support citizen educators in, at one level, talking about whole system change, how do we evolve a healthy society. I got on the journey that led me here because many years ago I had a personal epiphany where I became committed to the well-being of coming generations. And I shifted from being a pessimistic idealist who knew all the troubles of the world to being a committed optimist. And for a long time, I didn't know what to do with that. But I heard the phrase corporate social responsibility. I thought that should mean businesses taking responsibility for a healthy society. I didn't find that, and I'm a systems thinker, so I thought through myself, well, what would it take to actually shift the culture? We have to find ways to reach the unengaged. We need to inspire people to feel that, wow, we're in deep shit and we need to change the system. We need to evolve a healthier system and understand the main lines of how to do that.
I'm Jill Burrows. I'm with Pax Christi, Pace Bene, Nursing Nanas, and a whole range of other groups. I have two main passions. One is peace and nonviolence, and the other is caring for the earth and doing my best to make it as habitable as possible for future generations. The Pace Bene that I'm part of is a nonviolence training organization. And it was a real eye-opener for me. I'd never heard of nonviolence. And part of the training is recognizing my own violence. And when I start to see my own violence, I start to realize that I have to work on myself, because it's no good going around me trying to make peace in the world if I'm trying to fix other people. I really need to fix myself first. If we committed just a fraction of the amount of our gross national product that we commit to fighting war or preparing to fight war, if we applied those funds to researching conflict and peaceful ways of resolving conflict and looked toward building a Department of Peace, it would be very much more, it would be a more mature way of going about it. I feel very passionately about this because peace building and peaceful living skills and peaceful conflict resolution just are not part of our day-to-day lives. And until we spend some time focusing on right relationships and respect for one another, we're going to continue
My name is Margaret Walters. I'm a folk singer from Sydney, and I came to know about Raising Peace through the Marrickville Peace Group. But many years earlier, in the early 80s, I'd started attending peace rallies. So many of us were concerned about the prospect of nuclear war, something that's become more likely in this last year after a period of seeming security. And the catalyst for me originally came from hearing a particular song at a folk venue in Sydney. I've never been very articulate, but it seemed to me that one way I could contribute to the peace movement was through songs. There's a song by Peggy Seeger, Pete's sister, that I'd like to sing. During the 80s, Peggy was heavily involved with feminist and nuclear issues, which were merged by the Greenham Common Women's Camp. Peggy was arrested along with several hundred others. She endeavoured to use the song as part of her defence when the matter came before the court in 1984. But before she got through one verse, she was sent out for contempt of court and taken down into the cells. But this is the song that she sang at that time. It's called Tomorrow.
I know where my pleasures lie, for pleasures I have many. Hopes and dreams that carry me through daily care and worry. But every pleasure's touched with grief, every hope blighted with sorrow. Nightmare overtakes the dream, I fear I've lost tomorrow. There it is deep in my mind when I wake in the morning. I'm waking, trembling, listening for the dread 4-minute warning. When I watch the children play and only see annihilation, then I know fear has become a normal part of living. Nature trains us to survive, protect our children's children. We break the first of human laws, preparing now to kill them. Peace is what they say we have. It feels more like a poisoned arrow, pointed at our deepest dreams, the promise of tomorrow. You know where your pleasures lie. Will you have time to use them? Hopes and dreams are empty joys if you're prepared to lose them. You who stand and shake your heads and judge us that we act in error, ask yourselves deep in your heart, do you too live in terror? My spirit's dying day by day, murdered by warmongers. That is why I'm here, for I can't stand it any longer. I'm not here to waste my time. I'm not here to beg or borrow. I'm here to reclaim what's mine, the promise of tomorrow.
So why did the group choose the name Raising Peace?
The idea of Raising Peace was to draw together people who aren't afraid to give expression to that sentiment, who aren't afraid to say that living in peace is far and away the best way to live, free of the fear of being attacked, willing to enjoy peaceful coexistence, respecting others with whom we share the planet. From the very start, we felt that drawing people together under the one banner, as it were, would generate a sense of strength, because we, the peace-loving people, have the majority. After we'd settled on the name Raising Peace, an image came to my mind, which had its origins in a very famous militaristic photograph from World War II. And that's the photograph of raising the flag on Iwo Jima. And I thought, well, if the military can get great mileage from an image like that, maybe we as civilians can collectively raise the flag of peace. So it went with the name Raising Peace.
And for me, the term means raising the profile of peace. You know, we hear so much about war and the military, and it's in the news, it's in the everywhere. but we don't hear a lot about peace. So it was about raising the profile, waving the flag, saying, here we are, and gathering strength from each other to continue our work for peace. So that was, for me, the motivation. It was about being able to listen, listening to others, being able to really listen and hear what people are saying and appreciate where they're coming from, learning to widen your own views by being able to incorporate other views. And I think this is what we're doing here in Raising Peace.
I was raised under the principles on non-alignment. And I remember as a kid when the non-aligned movement was founded in Belgrade, which is my home city. And one of the founding principles of non-alignment is peaceful coexistence, which aligns with peace and non-violence very clearly. So this whole concept of raising peace, being together, what it means to me is being together with like-minded people who do belong to different organizations around different causes, etc., etc. The New South Wales branch was founded in 1920. So 2020 was the first centenary of both of the organizations, and we decided to mark that important date by organizing something. And one of the forms, as we discussed, was some sort of peace fair, peace festival.
We recognize the immense value there is in a network that brings together and elevates the voices of all the different types of peace organizations in Australia. And all these different organizations work in their own ways to peace in the community in Australia and in some cases internationally. I think we have to be active, and we need to actually raise it in the community that, you know, peace just doesn't happen. You have to actually take a positive attitude to things and actually make some achievements to keep peace, because it can fracture very easily. And I think around the International Day of Peace and the International Day of Living Together in Peace, in particular dates that we should always come together. And try and make sure that those messages of getting together, you know, there's all sorts of organisations that aren't even included in this group at the moment, Rotary, for example, and Lions and people like that that do a lot of work out there as well. So I think, you know, we should try and spread the message as much as possible, involve as many of these people as possible, and get the message out there, but particularly trying to get to those who aren't already involved in the community.
We have to really think about and prioritise the raising of peace. And one of the functions, I think, of trying to address the question of peace is to appreciate that peace is not something that comes out of a paper bag. You've really got to know a lot about the issues and the situations it's not just a question of saying, okay, well, I've got the answer, let's go for it. It's really a question of knowing how to insert yourself into an issue in such a way that actually does broaden the scope both for myself and also perhaps make some sort of difference out beyond myself.
And I've always drawn a lot of inspiration from the prayer that was ascribed to Bishop Oscar Romero, but I think it was written by somebody else. But it's called, "We are prophets of a future, not our own. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way. An opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own.
Part of me was like really inspired and really exhilarated. And the other part of me was perplexed, thinking, there are all these groups out there working for peace. Why haven't we got peace, you know? So it really made me realize how much we do have to change on the inside, and really so that we don't come across as weird, you know, so that people go, oh, that's a peace person. That's what they look like. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they stand for. Because, you know, like even I've had the similar experiences to you, Rita, that, you know, and you, Nick, you start talking about peace and people sort of like glaze over and sort of they think about it in terms of, oh, hippie, drippy, you know, what are you on about? But yeah. It's I think one of the things too that really did inspire me was just the courageousness of groups like Penn, you know, writing and advocating for journalists and writers who are, you know, being persecuted. I thought that was quite inspiring for me. It is awe-inspiring to think these people have like been working so hard and have all these skills, and people aren't even aware of it.
I'm Reverend Dr. Chris Walker, Uniting Church minister, now retired. Prior to retiring, I was with the National Assembly of the Uniting Church, particularly focusing on doctrine, worship, and Christian unity, and had a long-standing concern about peace and have tried to be involved in peace things through the Uniting Church. And I'm also particularly appreciative of Raising Peace because it's positive. It's not just against things, although obviously that comes into it, but Raising Peace wants to present peace in a positive way. How can we promote peace? How can we promote good relationships? How can we build a world which is a more peaceful, more reconciled world?
Peace is multi-layered. And I think that's one of the things I really like about Raising Peace. It's not just focused on one possibility. It's not just focused on war, but it's recognizing that so many different aspects make for peace. One of the things I really like about this group is the variety of other people that I have the very great privilege of hearing and listening to their stories, as well as working out between us what shall we do next? And that itself has been an incredible nonviolence journey. We don't have dominant people saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. We together start to discern what we might like to say to the world, particularly on each peace day. You know, what are the issues that really matter in our lives at the moment?
My name's James Cox, and my career is in international development. And along the way through that, I'd come to appreciate the importance of, you know, making, keeping, and in particular, building peace. I run Peacifica, which is a small not-for-profit that researches and advocates on peace issues in the Pacific region. I think everyone was acting on the idea that raising peace is an action. You know, peace is not some static state. It's something that you have to work hard at. And it's very important that we raise the importance of peace for all aspects of life today. It's important that we seek out and celebrate people who are leaders in the quest for peace, and in particular that we seek out First Nations leaders in the quest for peace, but people who have got decades of experience working in towards peace in all sorts of ways. And that's whether or not peace is in their job description. You know, peace is important to everyone and everyone's life can inform it. It's the idea that in our own small way, we're taking these steps to articulate what peace can be for this country and for the world. It's so important that we draw strength and inspiration from each other.
With a few festivals behind them, what has been the impact of being involved in the group?
In 2021, the idea was to organize the event again for September 2021, and then with COVID, that didn't happen. But in the meantime, more people became involved. And I realized I'd found a new tribe. I found a new group of people that I really clicked with, and I found very inspiring to work with. And what does Raising Peace mean to me? That I'm actually doing something to create a greater awareness of peace, to reach out to people. I have found Raising Peace very educative for myself. I also realize it caused a bit of a silo for me when in other circles I speak about things I know through Raising Peace. People look at me and say, oh, no. How do you know that? Where does that come from? I said, well, you should have attended a Raising Peace seminar and you would have known.
Raising Peace has been the eye-opening educative opportunity for me and was actually the pathway to involvement for me in so many peace groups and has enabled Let's Talk Peace and the Charter for Compassion in Australia to leverage what has been a very small group of people to have a much greater effect through the partnerships that we've formed through Raising Peace. So I was introduced to the work of Raising Peace during lockdown in 2021. And I have been working in a spiritual group whose objective is peace and sort of working from the inside out for decades, and began working with ICANN and WILF and the Institute for Economics and Peace and the Charter for Compassion around 2020. But I had no idea how many organisations in Australia were working for peace. And it was sort of like mind-blowing going to the first, well, it was your second Peace Festival, but my first one, to see that there are about 50 groups involved in that first Zoom get-together around International Peace Day. So I found it very exhilarating, and I was attracted to the possibilities of networking with all these good folk. There were so many opportunities for nonviolent change. That the COVID lockdown was the doorway to learn more about peace work and peace practitioners, and awaken my own desire to work with such a wide range of peace groups was in itself quite an amazing and unexpected experience. So not only has Raising Peace identified for me a whole range of approaches to peace work, it's enabled a real sense of solidarity and friendship. Through the connections formed, I have been able to invite several other Raising Peace associates to participate in presentations for the National Day of Compassion, which also happens to be the International Day of Peace, 21st of September. I'm just so grateful to almost have stumbled across this group through the horrible COVID experience, which turned out for me to be very fortuitous.
I was really excited to hear Madonna tell us that we were her inspiration. I think that's great. Forgive me, Madonna, but you strike me as someone with a lot of energy and good ideas and ability to contribute. So I'm so glad that you've joined the whole network. It's great.
One of the sessions that I got a lot out of in 2021 was the Pacific Forum that James set up, because these were people really working at grassroots level, trying to bring peace to their own communities. And I'll never forget I think he was from PNG. I can't quite remember where he's from. He said, oh, peace within. We never talk about such a thing. You know, peace for us is about community. Having peace in the community is the number one important thing. And, anyway, I've learned a lot, but that was one thing that stood out for me.
I think that has been with our webinars, how generous our guest speakers have been.
Yeah.
And we get the best of guest speakers, and they all want to speak in our webinars for Raising Peace. That they don't, I think they have very few other platforms. They can actually speak about peace. and that we give them that opportunity.
I was sent an article by the ambassador for Costa Rica, Ambassador Vargas, and I said, I want to ask him to be our keynote speaker. And I think Nick said, yeah, go on, go for it, give him a ring. So I rang up and he went, yes, I'd love to. And I was so shocked. We were all very shocked. And he gave such a wonderful speech. It was very inspiring.
And I think it was pretty good that, you know, in 2021, despite COVID, we managed to get together and have that first Raising Peace Festival. And certainly UNAA New South Wales provided a lot of support for that. The strength of Raising Peace is made apparent when we do all come together. I think we need to think about what's the impact of that.
My name is Peter Griffin. I come to Raising Peace after having been a participant in public events like the Palm Sunday Peace March for many years. I'm a member of Pax Christi, which is a Catholic peace organisation. I'm also a member of Married for Peace Group. I also participate in things like protests on a regular basis for the release of Assange. They're a bit more active and as a contributor. I inevitably come across my limits in that process. And I often come to the point where saying, I don't know how to do this. However, so it's been a long journey, and I just see it as an evolution of experience and involvement, etc., and degrees of involvement. I find that there is a kind of a dialectic goes on between trying to address issues external to myself, and what I find is that I discover issues within myself at the same time. That's a kind of a process. It's not just achieving something out there, because I find as soon as I try and do something about the world outside of me, I find myself confronted by my own limitations, and that requires of me something else again. I think it's a work in progress.
So that's what Raising Peace brings to me, actually acting on these ideas.
But it was really good to connect with Raising Peace, because it meant connecting with a wider network of people who were concerned about peace, and to do what we can to at least make some impression on moving people towards an awareness of what's required in order to achieve a peaceful world.
I've had a lot of consolation from being in the Marrickville Peace Group and the Raising Peace Group. I heard a quote the other day. It's something like, there is no road to peace. Peace is the road. And I think that was reflected in what a lot of people said.
I mean, the absolute fantastic learning experience being a part of this group is when you're organising something, you actually have to get fairly deeply into whatever it is you're trying to organise to work out what story you're trying to tell the people who come along to it. So it's a very rewarding, process being part of this. It's very satisfying, yeah.
We inspire each other. We support each other. I think it's just turned into the most fantastic group of people collaborating and to make a difference. I don't know if we're making a difference, but I think we are. I think we'd, you know, by giving each other strength to continue, that is really making a difference.
We hope you've enjoyed these podcasts, and we plan to be back again soon. Please visit the Raising Peace website to find full recordings of all of our past talks, and to join our mailing list for news about upcoming events. The song Tomorrow, performed by Margaret Walters, was written by Peggy Seeger and is used here with her permission. Special thanks to Glenn Morrow from Audiocraft for editing and narrating on these episodes. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and thanks for listening.